Morning, everyone. Brother of my soul, we were saying a while ago, and I love that notion that we have a Savior that is a brother. And as a son of man, that's what we understand, that we have someone like us in human flesh, but yet took on our sinful nature in 3 hours to pay the price that we would have to pay, which would be eternal hell, eternal lake of fire, but he took that. So I've said that this often, that he's the only person that's ever been in the lake of fire, because the lake of fire came to him on that dreadful day, the day of vengeance when his father made him to be sin for us. There's a chapter in Revelation that I want to read, in Revelation 20, that encapsulates so much. But there are many statements, many phrases that are misunderstood, that if we misunderstand, we lose the, encapsulation of what Revelation is, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ and his victory. All right. And we know in Revelation 21:22, we also have a picture of the kingdom age. Many things are misunderstood, I believe, in the book, but if we do understand, we see a closer view of who our Savior is. We see him as a brother. So in Revelation 20, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up there, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season." The angel spoken of here, I believe, is Jesus Christ. He is the angel who has the key to the bottomless pit, and he is throwing the devil, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, into that place. And so we're taught in this passage of Scripture that Satan, I believe, who had his head bruised, according to Genesis 3:15, when the Lord said, "It is finished, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," he defeated Satan and death and hell and everything. And Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, our brother, he was the angel who put him into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, we believe, is not a hole in the ground where you look up and you see a very little glimpse of light. This whole earth is a bottomless pit. He has been placed on this earth in condemning us as brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his restriction is with a chain. And I believe that the Bible teaches that, according to Revelation 13 and 17, he is restricted from having a one last world governance. We're seeing the indications of that today, that we're moving toward a one world governance. And that would be associated with this passage of Scripture coming up that says he's loose for a season. Because he has always tried to unite mankind against God. He has always wanted to exalt his throne above God. And the Lord, after the crucifixion and our debt as the elect was paid, he bound him 1,000 years. I don't know when that occurred, if it occurred at 3 p.m. on that afternoon, if it occurred at the resurrection, it doesn't matter. But suffice it to say, he is currently bound and restricted. All right? Then we see that in Malachi 3:1 that Jesus is a messenger of the covenant. And a covenant is in Revelation 12, where it talks about the covenant woman. And we've talked about that on a previous Sunday. So the Lord is, what I'm trying to share with you, is referred to as an angel. Okay? And there are other references to angels, such as ministers, pastors, and all, but in this case, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. So in reading on, we in verse 4, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Brethren, we're living in that 1,000 years now that has been going on for 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth. And we're reigning. We are told in Revelation 1 that we're kings and priests with God, with Christ. So, and he is the King of Kings. He's king over us. But there's a peculiar statement here that I think we need to understand. It says, beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So for the last 2,000 years, being in the kingdom age that we have been in, there have been God's children who have been martyred, killed, but not everyone has been beheaded. All right? And if we restrict that beheading to only those that are beheaded, then we miss a big lesson here. Whenever we are born again and we submit ourselves to the word of God, we are beheaded. So every day, in a sense, we need to be beheaded. Our old nature needs to be beheaded. Okay? And of course, we know our old flesh puts itself back up on the throne, and until we repent again, we continue in that mode until we're beheaded again. So I believe this passage of Scripture is talking about the whole kingdom age that we're living in, all those that are in the past, and even today. Today, we should be beheaded. Right now, our old nature should be beheaded. That we should submit ourselves to the Word of God. And that is what this verse is talking about. And we live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a number known only to God. It says in the Bible that God has a cattle on 1,000 hills. It says that he keeps his covenant to 1,000th generation. So that's a number known only to him. We do not know when Jesus Christ is coming back again. But I will say that he can't come back until the last person in the Lamb's Book of Life is born again. We don't know how long, big the book is. It may be a baby born in the womb, newly conceived. We don't know how long that book is, but we know we're presently in, I believe this chapter is teaching us, we're in the kingdom age right now, and we should be beheaded. Okay, so let's consider that as we strive to follow God and repent every day, that we follow the teachings in the Bible and our old nature is beheaded. Okay, in Revelation 5 we pick up, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's peculiar. It says this is the first resurrection. All right. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brethren, we have already had our first resurrection when we're born again. That was our resurrection. We were dead. Our first death was passed on to us by Adam. So we have been resurrected out of that death. And we have been born again. But it talks about the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Brethren, the non-elect will be resurrected to damnation, to the lake of fire. In the closing verse in Revelation 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment when Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will judge and send those non-elect and to the lake of fire. Previous to that, the Satan has already been placed in that lake of fire. Okay, so if we have in this verse here, first resurrection, that implies a second resurrection. Our second resurrection is when Jesus Christ comes again. And when he receives us in the air. Not to stay here 1,000 years like many people preach. We're gone. We're out of here. Okay, we already have eternal life right now. We are already living in the presence of Jesus Christ when we follow him and are beheaded for the kingdom's sake, okay? And we will not have a second death. But the people who are not born, chosen before the foundation of the world will have a second death. Okay, and they will have to be resurrected to that damnation. So that's what this verse is talking about. In the next verses, we read a little bit more that's going to happen. In Revelation 7 through 10, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and that holy city, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Brethren, there is going to be a day when that 1,000 years are expired, okay, and it may have already occurred. I don't know, but we know that once the Lord, Son of Man, releases him from that chain, he's going to go and form a one-world governance as depicted in the Revelation 13 and 17, which is the seventh head of the beast. Okay, so we need to prepare ourselves for that. We need to be ready to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. We need to be busy in the kingdom, working and sharing the gospel and helping others to be beheaded. Okay? So this verse refers to when that time occurs, he's going to go out and he's going to gather Gog and Magog. In the Old Testament, that refers to the enemies of Israel in Ezekiel. All right, so he's going to gather all the forces of the non-elect, the world system of imagery, all the things that this world is going to throw at God's people, and he's coming against the camp of the saints about in that holy city. We are the camp of the saints, and we need to be in the camp of the saints. We don't want to be outside. We don't want to see the mark of a beast. We don't know what that is, but we suffice it to say our right hand represents our works and our forehead represents our will. So we are to resist anything that Satan is going to use to unite Gog and Magog against God's people. And that holy city is not a physical city in Jerusalem. That is corrupt. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus has already declared it such. We are looking for a spiritual city. We're in that city right now. We are looking at the golden streets and the tree of life and Jesus Christ in the middle of that city today, right now, when we worship him. When we've been beheaded, we see him as he is. So we need to be there. But we're taught in the Bible that this loosing of Satan for a season is a short time. I think as in 70 A.D., the Lord said, "Behold, if I didn't come quickly, all flesh would perish." This is not going to be a good time. We need to be prepared, and we need to be found in the camp of the saints about, and in that beloved city, which is spirit and truth worship. So we need to keep that in mind so that we will be ready when that time comes, and it may have already been started here in this time. And we know as the age closes before Jesus Christ comes back, we're approaching that last person found in the Lamb's Book of Life being born again, and then he's coming back to meet us in the air. In Revelation 20:11 through 15, we close. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Remember, the dead are those that are not born again and not chosen before the world began. They're being judged here. But praise God, God's children have already been judged in Jesus Christ. because he was made sin for us so that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are covered. Our judgment has been covered. But this is talking about the final judgment of the dead that lived again, as I referred to previously. They are standing before the Son of Man, and they're judged out of the books. What are the books? Did I not do this or that? These people may say, wasn't I good enough to go to heaven? Or no, because they weren't covered under the blood of Jesus Christ and his death. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, brethren, I believe that this particular chapter summarizes the last 2,000 years that we've been living here. We have a time on this earth where we know the gospel, we understand the truth, because the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth, and supposed to be sharing that to a lost and dying world. To whom? To those who are already God's children. To help them to see what they need in this life is to beg God to behead them, behead their old nature, crucify. I pray every day, it seems like, that God would save me today. Previous churches I went to, I said a sinner's prayer to get eternal life, which did no good, because that was in God's hands. So now those prayers have been changed to, God, save me today. From who? From me. We are our greatest enemy, and we need the help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we be found in that camp of saints about and worshiping in that beloved city. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. We are so amazed, Lord, at everything that he has done on our behalf. And we stand, Lord, totally dependent upon your grace. And we thank you so much for what you've done through your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to guide us through this life, to help us to be what we should be. And we thank you for helping us, Father, to live a life that is pleasing to thee, and being found in that camp of saints about in that holy city. Please help us, Lord Jesus, to be more like you. That is our prayer. Help us to be like you, Jesus, who is our brother. Help us to be what we should be, so that we may help others along life's way to see the beauty of that holy city and be in the camp of saints about. We thank you for all your love and blessings. We pray for this nation, Lord. We ask that if it be possible, that we be revived, and that we turn away from our sinful idols, and that we have truth and justice again, Lord. We're entering a dangerous time in the future, Lord, and we ask that your presence would be even closer to us as we face these times. Thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for those that we've mentioned in prayer and their needs, and we ask that you would be with them as you always have been. Thank you for this time, and may Brother Marty, as he comes before us, share more of thy truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.